Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hi, my name is Ken, and I know you're not used to listening to podcasts that start off with an Australian kid, a song, and then a whole theme song after that. But this isn't any other show. This is the DJ New Style show, so you'll have to get used to it. So enjoy Justin, enjoy the song, enjoy the theme song, and then enjoy me and Frank talking about whatever we want for a few hours. Thank you very much. And fuck you.
Looky here, bitches. You're listening to the DJ New Style show. I'm over here fucking your mother. You fucking dick knobs.
Yeah.
You passed on mercy. You tried the rest. You gave your body. You gave your best. Stare at the green door. Living in the sky. You don't want to know it. You just want to fly. Hello. Hello.
Style show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk. It's not good.
And the homeowners didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. No, no.
Hey, Donna! Have you shot the coffee yet?
Yes, that's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning into your Tuesday Night Miracle exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And the only podcast that always broadcasts live that is always preceded by a German band who sets themselves ablaze. Who are they? You guessed it. Rammstein! Okay, let's turn off the Rammstein. I'm sorry, I need to fade that out professionally. Listen to me. Just listen to me for a second. When I tell you that this is an amazing show, it's amazing because of everything except for what I'm about to say. Ladies and gentlemen, your friend and mine, Bald Frank, the Germ Freak. Frank, how you doing tonight?
I do well. How do you do?
I'm doing okay, Frank. I'm doing okay. I'm doing quite well. Actually, I'm doing amazing. The best I've ever been. I have nothing to say apart from that. Frank, it's been a week since our last show, as per usual. And you have been picking some very, very good intros. I enjoyed this this throwback to the 80s, to your heyday, to the last days you've spent alive.
You know, there's something very...
Were you going to say cute?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say
good.
Something else. But you ever watch a movie that, you know, was...
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah, I've seen some movies, yes.
Okay, and you'll watch a movie, say, tomorrow, and you recognize somebody who was in the movie who wasn't famous when they were in the movie.
Masterfully put, and yes, that has happened. I will occasion, I'll watch a movie that has somebody before they've hit their prime. Like, you're
right.
Used to watching them, let's say, on The Sopranos. But you happen to be watching True Romance, and you see James Gandolfini. So it's like, oh, there he is. He's not even Tony Soprano. It's a huge deal. Where are we going with that?
Well, there really is no big deal. I don't want to make this sound like it's a big thing. But in the video, Hello Again by the Cars, 1984, about 38 seconds in, there's a young lady who was not famous then, but I guess is famous now. Would I say she's, you know, at the top of everybody's list? Of course not. But she's, you know, pretty
okay,
famous.
Well, out with it here, Matt Pinfield. Thank you for breaking down a video from 1984. Who is the famous person?
The famous person is, well, I was wondering if people could figure it out.
You think so? You want to direct people away from what we're doing, so that they can go and watch Hello Again?
They don't have to.
Is that what you want
to
do?
As they're listening to the show, if they want to see it, you know, whatever. Hey, listen, they don't have to do it right now. They can do it tomorrow. I don't care.
Yeah, we'll take a call tomorrow. How is that going to work, Frank? We've never invented the time machine. We haven't mastered even the present. Okay, we will say this. Maybe we'll get emails later on. If you happen to watch the video by the Cars, Hello Again, and you notice someone who is now famous who wasn't then, why don't you email Frank?
38 seconds in, because the first 38 seconds
what?
Is a,
okay,
bullshit.
There goes the Easter egg hunt. You've basically given them a timestamp.
No, 38 seconds is when the song starts, because the first 38 seconds are just some kids talking.
Just some bull, Frank. Just some kind of bull. Well, let me tell you, Frank, I'm very, very excited about tonight's show.
Why, do you have a boner?
I do have a boner, and I don't know how to get rid of it, Frank. I haven't been taught. I've been fiddling with it, but it just won't seem to go away. But I'm excited for other reasons.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted to say?
I did. I was never comfortable with saying hard on. So
anyway. You just say boner and silly words? Is that what you
use? Well, I say Woody, or I always felt awful saying hard on. It's a dirty word. A dirty two words.
But you have no problem repeating it three times in the company of men. Do you understand? Like, I don't know. Goatweed is checking, and he goes, okay, I just saw the video. Thank you for diverting Goatweed's attention away from the show, Frank. Magical bit that you put together for tonight. But he says, that girl is someone famous. No one knows. No one knows who it is.
All right, I'll say she was in a movie in the 90s called Showgirls.
Again, is that Elizabeth Berkley?
No.
Okay, then I have...
Her adversary.
Demi Moore? I don't know.
Tina Gershon.
Who? Okay, fantastic.
All right, what? I didn't say she was... I didn't say she was the top of the list. I'm just saying. But you know who she does look like? She looks like that British rocker, the drug addict. What's her name?
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, she looks like her a little bit.
That's good. Fantastic. We're just off to the races tonight. We have just come right off the bricks, full force. Well, let me tell you. Let me go back to what I'm doing now that we're out of pop-up videos section of the show tonight. I'm excited because we've been trying to get something together here with a very popular website. I'm sorry. Are you okay, Frank?
I'm fine.
Are you okay? Every time you gasp for air, I'm going to check on you because I want to make sure that you don't collapse, and that I still have a co-host by the end of this thing. We've been trying to do some collaboration with a very popular website, and our overall theme lately has been pretty crappy. We've been very despicable, gross people for so long that I think it's time we class up our image a little bit. we need to know some things. We need to at least know how to fake our way to being deemed classy. So I've been talking to the fine folks at corked.com. That's C-O-R-K-D, corked.com. It's a social networking site about wine that handles it in a non-pretentious fashion. They don't want it to be snooty. They don't want you to raise your nose and sneer at people who don't know the basics. They want to help. They want to inform. And recently, they've started putting content on their site, actual articles written by people in the community and all that. And what I wanted to do, because I've heard Donna's complaints, Frank, I know that Donna has been asking you to take her out to a normal dinner that doesn't have to a restaurant that doesn't have the word famous in it, or bread, or pull bees in the name of the restaurant. Some place where she can feel like she's actually enjoying an adult dinner with her husband. And I think the way to do it, Frank, is to educate ourselves a little bit about wine. Now, what we've done here is we've gotten, I think he's the senior editor of the front page. He'll be calling in. His name is John Troutman. He'll be in at, I think, around 9:30. A little bit. You're going to applaud already? He's not even here yet. As far as you know, he doesn't even know. He could be sleeping, for all we know. He could actually be just bombed out on wine. Who knows? But we'll see if he calls in. And when he does, we'll try to use him to get some knowledge, to boost ourselves up just a little bit. And class up and step up our games. Now, Frank, have you purchased wine in the past, I don't know how long?
Yes, I have.
When was the last time that you've purchased wine?
This afternoon.
This afternoon. So you bought a bottle of wine for tonight's show?
Yes.
Well, Frank, I have one right here that I bought for the show as well. So it looks like we're going to be drinking some wine tonight. I'm not going to be enjoying a Miller High Life. No. It is the champagne of beers, but we'll be classing up our image with fine, fine bottles of wine. I have something. I'm sorry. What was that, Frank?
Well, I mean, it's okay if it's the wine's in a plastic bottle, isn't it?
You bought wine in a plastic bottle?
Yeah, that's okay, right?
Probably not. I don't know that they maybe obviously they do.
Yeah, it's plastic.
You bought a plastic bottle of wine. Plastic.
Yeah. What difference does it make? As long as it's
not a box.
No.
So you actually do have something formed in the shape of a bottle.
Of course.
Okay. Well, that's good. We're getting predictions. Early predictions that the wine you've purchased is Mad Dog 2020.
No.
I think that's far too highbrow for you.
I will take a picture and put it on my Twitter.
Huh. Okay. So you're going to take a picture of your wine. And reveal it to all your followers. Your Twitter name is The Germ Freak. So if you're watching this and you want to follow Frank, twitter.com/TheGermFreak, and you'll basically see him complaining about his everyday life. I've purchased something which is called, and again, I don't know anything about wine. I know that I can pour something that has a cork or a cap into a glass, and I drink it. I sometimes swish it around. I put my nose in the glass, and I pretend like I can pick it apart. I don't know. I need an expert's opinion. But what I have here is Carneros Pinot Noir from the maker Annabella. The reason I took it, because it had some high number next to it. They said, well, so-and-so rated this a 92.
Mine has a very high number as well.
What is the number?
It's 2002.
Oh, no, that's the year. Well, that's a finely aged wine, Frank. That's a finely aged... This is a nice 2008. We're just getting off to a great start here. I'm going to pour a glass here, Frank, and I'm just going to start sipping, instantly becoming classier as I twist and get this cork... Can you tell I opened this already so that I didn't have to struggle with a corkscrew? Because tonight marked the first time I ever had to open a bottle of wine. Do you understand? Do you understand how thick of a facade I have on sometimes with my level of class. Frank, now, how often do you go out out to dinner with your wife?
Well, being that I have three children, it's not as easy as it is, so I would say maybe once every couple months.
Okay, once every couple of months. So what is the nicest place you've been to this year?
probably Carrabba's.
Oh, so Carrabba's. So you've been to a chain restaurant this year, and that's as good as it gets for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, the year pretty much just started.
Well, that's true. You know, it is month five. So why waste all the good restaurants early in the year when you have one here? Now, Frank, I usually after the show, or before the show rather, get a cup of coffee to get juiced, to get energized. And lately, I have not been going to Starbucks. Starbucks has been, you know, I've been at odds with that company because they forced me to buy a drink that they didn't actually force me. I bought a drink that I didn't approve of. And I'm done with them. So I was going to go to Quick Check, but I was passing a Dunkin' Donuts that had a sign for free beverages. How could you go against free? So I go in and I say, oh, I'll have the free coffee. They said, are you a nurse? Apparently it's nurse week and I misread the sign. I just saw free. So the people behind me in line not only thought that I was trying to scam Dunkin' Donuts out of a drink by posing as a nurse. Even if I were a nurse, it would still be bad. I'm a male nurse getting a free coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, or I'm a piece of garbage who is pretending to be a nurse to get something free. So anyway, I purchased the coffee, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. We've been conditioned to believe Dunkin' Donuts is this fantastic coffee, that it's amazing, but it's just hot. That's all it is. It has no real flavor to it. Has maybe a nice aroma, but that could probably be attributed to the donuts that are in the store. Do you understand? When was the last time you've had a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
I'd probably say within the last month or so.
So within the last month. Now, did you ever consider yourself a Dunkin' Donuts person?
No, not at all. Because I have allegiance to Starbucks, but I got to be honest with you, ever since I got my Keurig, I very rarely even go to Starbucks.
So why don't you just sever the tie completely? Why don't you step onto my side, the anti-Starbucks side, and let's find somebody we can step behind. Quick Check's okay, but they're not everywhere. They're not as big. We need someone to back. I was hoping to get a free coffee, but I was looking at Dunkin' Donuts. They were on my short list. With Wawa, Starbucks, and Quick Check. Wawa's out. Their coffee's garbage. I'm sorry, Philly. I know you don't know Quick Check yet, but you will. And when you do, you will wonder why you ever loved Wawa. But the thing is, and we're getting a little thing in the chat room on Heroes Talk here. YouStreamer2776 is saying that I need to try Tim Horton's coffee. I have no idea what that is.
I think one of the kind you can buy in Keurig, I think.
Oh, they have a little K-cup for the...
I think maybe.
Okay. All right, well, good. So you have been just sticking to your Keurig thing, and you're just going through the coffee, and everything's good.
Well, I buy it, and the ones I don't like, I put in a cardboard box, and I'll give them to... I have to give them to you, probably.
So wait, you bought a bunch, and now you...
Yeah, I mean, the only way you find out which ones you like is you taste them, and there's a lot I don't like, so I have to give them to you.
Well, why are you buying so much? You're buying, like, a case of them? You have a lot, you're saying, right?
Yeah, a case.
Hold on, I need to sip and try my wine, my Annabella Carneros Pinot Noir.
Au revoir.
It smells like wine. I need to know what to look for. I don't know. I'm just gonna take a big gulp of this. Oh. Oh, that's bad. Oh, that is bad. Man. I Frank, have you ever gone to a wine tasting? Is this something you've ever done?
I've never drank wine.
You've never had wine.
Well, I mean, obviously I've had a sip or two in my lifetime, but I've never had a glass of wine ever. I don't like.
You don't like what? Frank?
Yes.
Why did you just say, I don't like, and then you stopped everything?
I don't like that fact that when you have a glass of wine, that you only fill it a quarter of the way up.
So you don't like the fact that it's served in small portions? What if
Correct.
It was just like given to you in a shorter glass?
That's what I like.
So you have to have, every time you have a glass, it's got to be to the top.
Yes.
You feel like you're being inefficient by leaving.
I'm being shortchanged.
That's what it is then. So you don't realize that because you've never had wine, that if you chug a full glass of wine, you're kind of in trouble. You don't know that, do you?
I was unaware of that.
Why are you distracted? I can tell you're distracted. What's going on?
I was
going
to say something.
Because here's the deal. In the middle of your sentence, you just stop. And then you say something and you end.
What I was going to say was, I was going to say I don't like wine is what I was going to say. But then I thought that wasn't really appropriate to say, being that we're having a wine connoisseur.
It's okay if you don't like wine. The guy is not going to stomp you with military boots.
Okay.
He's a guy who likes wine, who's going
to
teach us about it.
I want to learn to like wine because I want to become an adult, because I am approaching a new way,
40. Just say it, Frank. 40.
I will not say it.
Why won't you say it?
Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 39. Hi. Can you imagine that was a year ago? Remember we did that bit? Where like,
yeah.
Yeah. That was a fucking year ago, man.
Yeah, it was. It was
Jesus
a year ago.
Christmas. Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 39.
You're going to be 40, so that means, maybe, if you're lucky, 30 more Christmases. Better savor each one, buddy.
Now, are we gonna continue with this topic, or are we gonna break away and then come back?
We can break away, and then when he calls in, we'll come back to it.
All right.
I'm sorry, Frank. I mean, I didn't mean to. Let's face it. My head is swimming a little bit too, because I am. It's full of snot. It's full of snot and mucus, and I'm not thinking right. I'm sick. I've got some kind of allergy thing going on, and I wake up, and I'm dripping out of my nose. So I have to blow my nose into this box of tissues that runs out, and eventually I just surrender, and I steal the roll of toilet paper, and I put it next to my bed, and I just start creating a pile of this waste next to my bed.
The waste of the toilet paper snot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I have a dog, Frank, so naturally the dog will go up and eat. He steals my snot rat.
Right. Well, the
and
mucus,
eats them. I don't understand. It's disgusting.
My dog does the same thing. I think that the mucus has maybe a sweet flavor for the dogs or something, because my dog likes mucus as well.
So you think it's
and there's something in the mucus.
Wait, hold on. How do you know your dog likes mucus?
Well, like if I'm sick or something, I notice he'll like like chew on my dirty tissue and stuff like that.
Exactly. So I went to go brush my teeth. I let the dog run around the house in the morning. I go brush my teeth, and I come back in the room, and there's just a pile of shredded snot paper everywhere, and he has a clump of it in his snout. He's only 23 pounds. His snout is relatively short.
Wow, 23 pounds. He's getting big, man.
He's a small dog.
23 pounds is pretty big.
It's not.
My dog's 7 pounds, for Christ's sake.
Police dogs are like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
He's a small dog.
Well, what would you consider a 7-pound dog then?
I wouldn't consider it a dog. You have some kind of a rodent. You have two of them, actually. It's not a dog. And you're not a friend. But the dog eats all the stuff, so I have to try and get this out of him, out of his mouth. Because it's my instinct that when I see him chewing stuff, I need to pry it from his jaws so he doesn't eat it. And it's anything. I mean, I guess he could be eating the tissue and be okay. But I feel like I shouldn't let him do it. I shouldn't let him swallow my disgusting pollen drippings. So I take my thumb and forefinger and I press his lip meat into his teeth. And I say, drop it. Drip it, Teddy. Drip it. And he just looks at me like, fuck you want from me? Just at the anger that fills me, I can't express to you. So what are you laughing at? I don't understand.
No, you remind me of something I used to do with my dog, but I don't want to run on your parade.
No, what did you do with your dog?
Well, my dog suffers from agoraphobia, which I think is when he eats his own feces. I can't pronounce.
What did you say?
It's agoraphobia or something, or aprophobia or something.
Why do you sound like a melted record
Because I'm unable. I was always unable to pronounce what it was. But it's a rubber farmer or something like that.
Okay, so he suffers from that.
Yeah, and what I would do is when I would smell shit on his breath, I would take a paper towel and just soak it in Palmolive soap and make a big wad of wet paper towel and just stuff it in his mouth and just clench his mouth, close his mouth until the paper towel and the soap just drizzled off of his fucking gums.
So you see him eat his crap.
It's called coprophagia or something.
I thought it was Well, when a dog suffers from he probably doesn't appreciate you putting dish soap into his mouth.
Right, right.
So what is it, because you're afraid that his tongue now has his crap?
No, I'm doing one thing. I'm doing two things. I'm washing the shit out of his mouth, and I'm teaching him a lesson.
You're giving him an old-fashioned Italian grandmother lesson of life. Right. Anytime you do anything wrong, they come at you with soap, and they have.
Have you ever actually had soap in your mouth? Has that ever happened to you?
No. And you know what? I was repeating what I thought was a legitimate Italian word, because I've heard. I'm half Italian. My family on the
good
Italian
half.
Side. Yeah, that's very funny, Frank. But what's ironic is you're 100% Italian, and there's not one good part of you. The Italian side of my family.
You mean that?
No. Oh. So anyway, the Italian side of my family would speak, you know, Italian at like at picnics and whatever, and I would pick up on some of it. And my oldest sister went to my grandfather to learn some conversational Italian, and I was there too. And I wanted to butt in, and I wanted to show off. So I told him what I knew, which was fungal. So I go, "Hey, Grandpa, fungal," which is not a nice term if you're not familiar.
Yeah.
The the red in his face, in his eyes, particularly his eyes turned into angular.
Now, were you scared of your grandfather?
Serpent eyes. And yeah, of course. And he stood up, and I guess he didn't have the bar of soap that was used to threaten the children. So he reached over and he grabbed the Palmolive squeeze bottle and chased me out of the kitchen. I was 7 years old, frightened, never ever even attempted to speak Italian in front of anybody.
Could you go back in your head right now and just remember that exact situation? Like, remember running around the table or whatever?
Yeah. I stood there. I was so proud. I was showing off to him. I was trying to let him know that I am taking interest in this language that you were raised with. And I was really trying to get, like, some props and all that. And I wanted to I wanted to have him say, "Oh, that's very good that you're learning street swears in Italian," and directing them towards me. I didn't know it was bad.
I never knew how to say that. I never knew if that word is fungu or fungul. Is it, what is the pronunciation of it?
It's va fanculo. But you people, and I mean the gutter Italians, you, have turned it into a fungul.
Fungul, G-O-O-L, ghoul?
Fungul is what they say. That's what they say. But Frank, you are the type of person who can't even pronounce pasta. You spoke to me earlier in the week.
Yeah.
About
you know what I had for dinner. I said lentils.
By the way, I usually like to know what you're having for dinner, because sometimes your wife cooks and she's a fabulous cook. She makes some of the best boxed lemon cake that she can pull from a store.
Fuck you.
Okay, anyway, so she's a very good cook, and sometimes I like to hear about the things that she prepares. Well, that night, she made some pasta and beans or something, right? Is that what it was? What was it that you said, Frank?
It was lentils and boss.
Lentils and boss.
No, lentils and boss.
And boss. So I said, "Wow, what's boss?" And you treat
boss
and you said
pasta
and you
Italian.
Said to me, and you said to me, "Well, you know, that's just Italian for pasta." Do you not understand? Pasta is an Italian word. Where are you forgetting this? How does this not come up? You boss is not pasta. I'm sorry, Frank. Just because people that are Italian and have been Americanized pronounce the P as B doesn't mean that it is pasta. Now, Frank, I am very, very excited here to welcome John Troutman to the show. He is the senior editor of court.com. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you tonight?
Doing very well. We are enjoying some, I am trying to enjoy some wine. We were eagerly awaiting your arrival, and we're very, very excited. A little background about us. We're basically disgusting garbage, and we want to not look like disgusting garbage. We want to try to class up our image a little bit, and I think the surefire way to do that is to maybe know a little bit more about wine.
And awesome. Well, I'm more than happy to try and help out a little bit and you know, class it up, as you like to say.
Yeah, we want to class up our act. We want to make our show just at least seem a little classy. But before we get into that, you're from a site, corked.com. That's CORKD.com. Anybody who's listening right now or who downloads this, you should really go there and create an account because they're doing some great things. And the difference between them and any other site is that they can get you into wine, they can get you appreciating wine without it being such a pretentious, snooty thing. And I noticed that now, John, you're starting to get into the content game a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, we're like you said, we're just trying to keep it unpretentious. We want to, you know, it, like any other alcoholic beverage, people don't have any problem ordering a beer at the bar. We don't want people to have an issue with, you know, walking into a restaurant and ordering a glass of wine. It's the same thing. Loosens you up a little bit. Everybody has a good time with it, and it's no different than any other drink. So,
John, why do people make it like that, though? Why do they make it so pretentious and to the point where the other people who are not into wine feel inferior?
You know, I think it goes back years and years and years, and it's really just the way the industry has shaped it. But we're here to shake things up. You know, it's definitely got a long history and kind of had a stigma associated with it. And it's, you know, people think you have to keep your pinky in the air when you raise your glass, but we're here to shake things up and change that perception.
Now, I bought a bottle of wine, and I think, Frank, you said you bought some too, but it was in a plastic bottle,
well,
though.
What difference does that make? It's Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wait, I'm sorry, Frank. What did you say?
It's Cabernet Sauvignon.
Why are you trying to French up the last part?
Because it's a French wine, so you're supposed to say, you're supposed to pronounce it Cabernet Sauvignon.
Now, John, can you correct him, please?
Yeah, so he's definitely got the last part of it right. He's right about the French pronunciation, but it's Cabernet. So you're going to drop the E-T.
Oh. Now, Frank, try saying that, please.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Very good.
Now, what is that? What is that? What is cab? What is the word? Is Cabernet a generic term? What does Cabernet mean?
So that's the name of the grape, and like you said, it's definitely got a French background to it. It is originally from a region in France, the Bordeaux region of France.
Okay, so it's from the name of the grape from the Bordeaux region of France. So you actually, Frank, yeah, you went for a Cabernet Sauvignon, as you like
right.
to say. What is the the make or the winery? What is the actual type of wine?
The brand, it's called Sutter Home Family Vineyards.
Now, John, I'm guessing you've probably heard of this.
I have. Yep. Sutter Home is like the Coca-Cola of the wine world, I guess you could call it, or one of the Coca-Colas of the wine world. It's definitely one of the bigger brands. People are pretty familiar with it.
Hmm. Is it a good wine, typically? Excuse me.
I have not tasted much of it recently. It's definitely got a reputation as you know, a large producer. They're pretty popular. People do like their wines a lot.
Would you say that, like, if they're a large producer, that they're either really, really good or just really, really cheap?
I think that's fair to say. I'll give you that.
Okay. So, Frank, how much did you spend on the bottle?
Well, they had a sale on this one. It was if you buy a bottle of shampoo, they give you a bottle of wine.
Where did you buy this?
This was at a like a pharmacy, like a local store here in the area. And they had, but the thing is, they had the bottles.
Wait, and hold on. Why are you buying shampoo? You have no hair. You're bald.
I was buying it for my wife. No, but the thing is, they were in like a bin. They had like bottles in a bin, and they're plastic bottles, so it's easy for carrying. It's not heavy, which I like. And if you drop it, it won't break. So, and it's got a screw top.
Okay. Well, now, John, the age old cork versus screw top thing, is that pretty much done at this point?
You know, there's nothing wrong with screw tops, and I'll tell you right now, it's definitely again, it's one of those things in the industry that people have a real stigma with screw tops, or they had for a long time. At this point, though, you can get some of the best wine you'll ever drink right from a bottle that has a screw top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole cork thing, it's definitely got that romantic thing associated with it. Impress the ladies, bring home a bottle of wine and pop that cork. But you know, you can throw all that out the window. Because screw caps are definitely, they're here to stay. They do just as good a job keeping the bottle of wine fresh, and they're definitely going to be around for a while.
Now, John, the thing with me is, you know, I'm going to be approaching a milestone age in about a month or so.
Why don't you tell John what that age is?
It doesn't really matter.
It's 40.
Okay. And I, you know what? I feel embarrassed when I go out to a social gathering and everybody's ordering wine and I'm ordering a Diet Cola with no lemon. And I'm a beginner. I'm a beginner when it comes to wine and tasting and whatnot. Is there a beginner wine? Is there a wine that is less strong that you can just wet your whistle and sort of break your cherry on? Is there such thing?
Well, you know, to start off with, what I would tell you to do if you want to get into wine is taste as many wines as you possibly can. And, okay. You know, that can be fun. A lot of people aren't going to, you know, deny that idea because it's fun to do. So really, never order the same glass of wine or the same bottle of wine twice. Just try as many different wines as you possibly can. That being said, if you're looking for a good wine to start with, I usually tend to advise people to try Riesling, which it's a white wine. A lot of the time people think it's, you know, it's kind of a girly wine, but I would throw that notion out the window. And it's a great wine for a couple of different reasons. One, it's really good to go with food. It's a really food-friendly wine, so like you said, if you're going out to dinner, if you want to impress somebody, you can order a bottle of Riesling and you'll do okay. And it's also got a lot of them have a hint of sugar in them, which makes them, you know, they have that delicious factor, makes them taste good. Everybody's got a little bit of a sweet tooth. So there's a couple of reasons why Riesling's a good option.
So now it's a bit of a sweeter wine, and it's good, and it is also approved by the hip-hop community. As Kanye West quoted that he was beasting off the Riesling.
That's right. Beasting off the Riesling. You got that right.
That's right. And now, the sweeter wines, whenever I'm out like with my family, they'll call it, oh, I'll have the girly wine. I'll have the candy wine. The dessert. People really do break down a sweeter wine as being something less, something a little more feminine. Is that similar to the cork and screw top debate? Is that kind of done with as well?
You know what? Again, it's something everybody's got to kind of put aside and you know, give up on it, because even if it is girly, the wines are amazing. They're, you know, a lot of the time they're considered some of the best wines in the world. It's like you said, it's like the cork versus screw top thing. People need to reshape the way they're thinking.
Okay.
John, you know what I always was wondering, and a lot of times you'll see this on TV or in movies or something, and the waiter will name the wine and the year, and then the guy will say, oh, that was a good year. What does that mean? Oh, that's a good year. What does that mean? Oh, that's a good year. What does that mean?
So, you know, unlike soda and unlike, you know, beer and some of these other products, wine is, you know, it's just like a vegetable. It's grown every year, and based on the season, it's gonna have some variability, and depending on what the weather conditions give them. So, certain years in certain regions are gonna have, you know, better grape quality, and which eventually turns into the wine. So, depending on what the growing season is like, the wine is gonna be a little bit different year in and year out.
Okay. Now, what would you recommend a Riesling? Because, Frank, when you go out and decide to let your lack of hair down and have a drink or two, it's always a what someone would call a girly drink or a some kind of a girly cocktail, like a melon ball, or a
like
Jolly
a
Rancher,
Malibu Bay Breeze. Yeah. I have no problem, with sweet drinks. I think that would probably suit me well.
So you might do very well with the Riesling,
right?
But now, John, what about someone who is really just strictly plain beer? They go out there, they like their Miller Lite, they like their High Life, they like just basically garbage crap beer that has fancy logos printed on labels, and they want to get into wine. What is something that they could take off of a shelf and try out?
All right, so going off the whole beer idea, you talk about Miller Lite and Miller High Life and kind of transitioning from those going into the wine scene. I definitely want to push everybody to drink more sparkling wine. I think, a lot of people think it's a category that can only be drank when you're toasting a wedding or when you're celebrating the birth of a child. But sparkling wines are the most underrated wine category in the world of wine today. So that being said, you don't have to spend $100 on a bottle of champagne to get a good quality bottle of sparkling wine. There's, the Cava category, which is sparkling wine from a region in Spain.
Okay.
That you can get a really high quality bottle of wine for $8, which if you're doing the math, that translates into probably a better value than Miller Lite or Miller High Life. It's got that carbonation behind it, so it's going to go down a lot like beer, but you're going to look a lot better drinking it if you pull it out at a dinner party or with some friends.
Yeah, nothing like pulling out your own bottle opener and taking care of a beer bottle. Nothing looks worse. But if you do have that wine glass and maybe some sparkling wine in it, that might actually be very good. John, you're getting a lot of compliments in our chat rooms here on Pal Talk and on HeroesTalk.com. For those who don't know, for those who just tuned in, we're talking to John Troutman, the senior editor of Corked.com at CORKD. If you're not a member, definitely sign up. Check out some of the new content that they have coming up. I think by year end, Gary Vee is pushing to turn this thing into like the number one resource of all wine content ever, because no one thinks bigger than Gary Vee. What are you guys doing to make this happen so that your content is better than anybody else's?
Yeah, so like you said, Gary's definitely got a reputation as a guy that really knows his wine and done an awesome job kind of embracing a whole slew of wine drinkers. Everybody from, the guy who is transitioning from beer into wine to somebody who's been drinking wine their whole life and knows a whole ton about it. But he's only one guy. So really what we're doing at Corked is we have a whole community of wine writers and wine experts who are writing articles on a daily basis for us. We're publishing anywhere right now between 5 and 10 articles on current events in the wine world, different wine suggestions, just ways to kind of introduce people to new things that are going on in the world of wine. So we have a number of really good guest contributors, some people who write in a really fun way, really unpretentious way, a lot like you guys. We just keep it easy. We keep it fun. We just have a good time with wine writing.
Good.
Yeah, so it's cork.com, good place to check out, get a little bit of wine info, and hopefully help you guys pick out a good drink.
I mean, we've been on it for ever since we were looking for someone to reach out to maybe give us some knowledge, and we discovered Corked, and we've created our profiles. I'd encourage any of the listeners out there to sign up and look for us on there. I'm DJ New Style, and Frank is Germ Freak. And add us on there, and let's get started doing this. I will post my Annabella wine on there after the show tonight. I don't know. Have you ever the wine I chose was a Pinot Noir, Carneros Pinot Noir from Annabella. I've never heard of it. I saw a very high score, a 92, but it was $14. So I think I got kind of I think I got taken a little bit on this.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? 92 point scores are awesome, and the point systems are awesome. But really, all that matters is do you like it? So, if you open it up and it's a $10 bottle of wine, you think it's crap, and you taste it and you love it, more power to you. And a lot of the time, on the other end of the spectrum, you can buy a $100 bottle of wine, you'll taste it, and it's going to taste like absolute crap. So
yeah.
it's really all about what tastes good to you and whether you like it or not. Don't listen to anybody else.
Now, Frank, have you opened your bottle yet? I'd like you to try some.
I'm going to open it up right now as we speak. Now,
John, he's never done wine tasting.
I've never really done this before.
So maybe now, could you give him the broad strokes of doing this? Obviously, Frank, first step, pour it in the glass.
Now, John, do I pour it to the brim?
I wouldn't pour it to the brim. Depending on how big your glass is, I would pour, maybe a sixth of the bottle in there, maybe just a few ounces in the glass.
Okay. Now, I notice on TV they'll bring it down to the light and they'll shimmy the glass a little bit and look at the smell the bouquet. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think, the smell of the wine, the bouquet, as you call it, and as a lot of snooty people in the wine world will call it. I like to just call it, the nose of the wine.
Yeah, you get your nose deep in there.
Stick your nose all the way in the glass as far as you can.
Ooh, it's strong,
Frank.
Wow.
You have to see. You have to stick it so far in that you see a glass rim form around your nose, finishing on your upper lip. Almost bruise yourself. You have your nose in that deep.
That's right. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Get your nose right in there and give it a good smell.
I've seen wine tasting programs, and a lot of times the people will just put the wine in their mouth, swish it around, just spit it out in a bucket. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. A lot of the time, if you're going to be drinking a whole crap load of wine, you'll definitely want to have a spit bucket there. Otherwise, you'll end up stumbling out of the out of your wine tasting. But if you're just having a glass, a bucket on hand.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take a sip of it.
Now, Frank, the idea is that since you don't have a full glass, you should swirl. I've seen this on Gary's show, Wine Library TV, winelibrarytv.com. He swirls the glass around just a little bit gently to get, the air going in it. Mm-hmm. And John, step in and correct me anytime I say something stupid. I'm a novice, okay? Swirl it around. Stick your nose in and smell it. And then, start talking about things that you smell, whether like types of wood or berries.
Meat. I smell a little bit of like a cherry Jolly Rancher.
Okay.
A little bit.
See now, well, let me back up, Frank. John. Frank has an incredible nose because he has very smelly sneakers, and just last week. He finally identified the smell. It was garlic and herb alouette cheese.
Right.
So he already has a mindset to compare scents with actual products. So I think...
Which is the biggest thing in the world because, a lot of the time, people think that they have to pick up certain smells like, rose petals and things like that. But really, you need to just go based on your past experience. So if you're getting sweaty socks, then... Say it. Chances are that's probably what you're smelling in the glass.
And chances are, if you're in Frank's house and you're sipping wine near his feet, you are definitely smelling sweaty sock.
Now, wine is really just grape juice, isn't it? It's just grape juice with alcohol in it. Is that correct?
What?
Well, they don't just take grape juice and mix it with alcohol. What they do is they
take Welch's.
They essentially take grape juice and they let it ferment.
Yeah.
So if you were to take, even a glass of Welch's grape juice and let it sit for long enough, eventually it's gonna ferment and it's gonna take on alcohol in the glass.
John, it's completely okay to laugh at him because the idea that he pictures somebody pouring like a barrel of alcohol into this vat of grape juice is pretty impressively dumb. Now, Frank, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, I don't think he's alone. I think a lot of people probably aren't too familiar with the way that wine is actually made. So it's not as dumb as you might think.
Well, I mean, there are...
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but there are a lot of kids in high school that just leave apple juice and grape juice out with the hopes of getting alcohol by the end of the school year. I've seen this happen firsthand. They're idiots too, but at least they know how it works. Frank is 40 years old and thinks that people are putting rubbing alcohol... with Concord grape juice. Now, Frank, go ahead and sniff the wine. And again, you said you smelled cherry Jolly Ranchers. Did you smell anything else?
A little bit, perhaps a little bit of a licorice, if you will.
Okay.
And maybe some balsa wood.
Wow! Balsa wood, cherry Jolly Ranchers, and licorice.
Now, should I take the sip now, or?
Yeah. So
now when I take the sip, do I let it like remain in my mouth? Like, do I let it flow along my gums and my uvula, or do I just swallow it right away?
No, I want you to take it and swish it around in your mouth like it's mouthwash.
Okay, here it goes.
A lot of the time, you know, people are pretty hesitant and they think they need to just kind of, you know, put it on their tongue and then swallow. I want you to swish it around like it's Listerine first thing in the morning.
No, gargle it. Swish it around. Okay, now what did you detect?
Now my mouth is alive right now. It's my mouth. The my jowls sprang up. My mouth is very puckered, and I feel a revitalization of my gums and whatnot.
Okay, but what do you taste? It's not nerve tonic. It's wine.
I'm tasting, rubbing alcohol. It tastes like rubbing alcohol. That's what I'm tasting right now. But let me take another sip. Okay.
It's a rousing endorsement for Sutter Home. But you can get free shampoo with it, so that's excellent.
Well,
you know, the rubbing alcohol, you might not be too far-fetched from. A lot of the time, if you're getting a bad bottle of wine, you're going to end up tasting some rubbing alcohol in there.
There's no sweetness. It's just very strong. It's very like almost 100% proof alcohol. There's no flavor to this. There's no texture. There's no aroma. There's no it just tastes like alcohol. I try to separate the alcohol from the wine. I don't taste the wine. I only taste the alcohol.
Okay, so. Go ahead. I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is you're probably 100% right, and I love that you acknowledge it and you realize you don't like this wine. What I would tell you to do is dump it down the drain because life is too short to be drinking crap wine.
Awesome.
And I would tell you to open another bottle of wine and give it a shot.
Frank, do you have another bottle of wine?
I have another bottle of wine. I have Jose Reyes Cabaret's.
Wait, Jose who?
Jose Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S.
Wait, Jose Reyes?
Oh, yeah, Jose Reyes.
Since when?
Cabaret Reyes.
The Mets shortstop?
Yes.
Since when did he have a vineyard?
Cabernet Sauvignon Long Ball, collector's edition.
Wait, Jose Reyes has a vineyard?
His face is on the bottle.
John, have you ever heard of this? Jose Reyes from the Mets?
You know what? I haven't. I'm a Red Sox fan, so I've I haven't drank any Mets wine, but I have heard of some Red Sox players that have their own line of wine. So,
like Mike Greenwell has a very nice Chardonnay.
I tweeted the bottle of. I tweeted the photo on my Twitter, so you could take a look at it. But well, what about Ken? Are you going to take a taste or?
I've been tasting, but I will do the official thing here, and I have some poured out of my Pinot Noir that I bought off the discount rack that claimed to have a 92-point score. Here we go. I'm going to swirl it around. I want to oxygenate the wine. I'm going to pretend to be an expert. I'm going to really posture myself, as radio personalities tend to do when they know nothing about it. They talk very authoritatively about it. So I'm oxygenating. Yes. Here we go. I've swirled. And now, as Gary Vee would say, I'm going to take a sniffy sniff. So here we go. Stick my huge nose inside the glass if it fits. I'm getting wine. I don't have the I don't think I can pick apart stuff like that. But let me just take a maybe some like some oak tree and like a varnish from wood shop and
okay.
a little bit of like red grape skin. Like the skin. Okay, here we go. Hold on. And then the mouthwash thing. Here we go. Hold on. Okay, my mouth's on fire right now. Hold on. Yeah, and you know, it kind of tastes exactly like it smells. Like a varnish fight while putting together some kind of a spice rack that your mom's not going to use. And I take like lead, a little lead, pencil lead. And generally nothing really good. This seems like a... Yeah, I'm not enjoying this. I would give it a zero. I'm very binary. I either love it or I hate it, and I don't really like this. I'll continue
drinking.
You're down on the slide. I'm down. I'm way down on Annabella Special Edition Carneros Pinot Noir. Now I'm not spitting it into a spit bucket. I am actually drinking the wine, so maybe this could just really change the mood of the show as we progress. Now, is this a normal thing? You know, a random wine I just picked off the shelf. I have no idea what it tastes like. Is it? What's the percentages of finding something great?
You know, I think it's a little bit different for everybody. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time there's a certain style of wine that people tend to like. So you know, if you discover that you really like Pinot Noir, you might want to try some different Pinot Noirs from different regions. See what you really like and what you really don't like. Every bottle is a little bit different. Sometimes, you know, you may even buy the same brand of wine in the same year, two times in a row. And one time you'll taste the wine and it'll be great. And the next time you'll taste it, it'll be like crap. And I think so often that depends on what the situation is. You know, if you're drinking wine with 10 of your best friends and if you're at a great dinner party or you're at a great party at your friend's house, chances are the wine's going to taste better than when you're sitting at home after a long day and you just got home and your boss is yelling at you all day and you got screaming kids in the background and you got a wife that's breathing down your throat. So it's definitely a situational thing.
I bet you if I was with some friends consuming this wine and not in a darkened bedroom doing a podcast, I might enjoy this a little bit better, but I don't think much more. I think part of this is that, like, I hear Pinot Noir. I hear it. It's like it seems to be like and again, I'm not in the wine community at all, but from what I hear, this is like an it wine almost.
You got that right. Yeah, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the movie Sideways, but that pretty much put Pinot Noir on a pedestal, and people are drinking it like it has the cure inside now.
So it could have been any wine that what's his name liked. And that would have been it. So now people watch that movie, or they saw it in 2005, as I did, and maybe that's where I'm subconsciously pulling this from. I'm like, oh, well, I need wine. I go for Pinot Noir. But maybe I should just go, I should just break down and go with the Rieslings or the dessert wines or anything like that.
Definitely, yeah. I would just tell you to drink as many different things as you can. Eventually, you'll kind of bring your palate to a point where you know what you really like and what you don't like, mm-hmm. and from there it just gets easier and easier to make a pick when you're in the wine shop.
Now, Frank, what are you doing? I heard
what I'm doing is I'm pouring the bottle of Jose Reyes is finest.
I bet you it smells like now, sweat and
you know
baseball
what?
Glove webbing.
It's a lot more. Vibrant in color. It's a more of a rosé, where the other one was more of a deep purple. This is a little more of a rosiness to it.
Okay.
Which now does that mean it'll be sweeter, John, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. No. It may be a little bit of a lighter wine. It might not be as heavy. And I think you said with that wine, it was really it felt like there was like a spice in your mouth, and that it was
right.
So that it might be an indication of it being a lighter wine, but that's not a promise.
Okay, I'm gonna.
All right, you swirl, sniff, sip. Don't gargle, but swish, and then now tell us what you're tasting and smelling, Frank.
Okay, this is much milder. It's very subtle. It's milder, however. Again, with the Sutter Homes, I just taste alcohol. I don't taste any of the flavorfulness of the wine itself.
Did you smell anything different? Is it just Jolly Ranchers and rubbing alcohol?
It just it 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 really just tastes is like rubbing alcohol. I want to taste the grapes. I don't want to just taste the alcohol.
So that's what it is. Now, John, are you enjoying any wine through this nerve-wracking interview of explaining wine to complete noobs?
You know, I'm actually drinking a Pinot Noir right now from California as well. So
by any chance, is it Annabella 2008? I hear it's an amazing year.
It's not Annabella, but it's from a place called Heart of the Mountain, which I just found out was actually the grapes that are grown there were on a plot of land formerly owned by Alfred Hitchcock, the famous film director.
Okay. So and how does that one? What flavors do you get out of that one?
You know, I get I'm smelling it right now, and it's got kind of like a peppermint candy thing to it.
Okay,
which I like very much. It's and then when I'm tasting it, I get kind of like a very tart red cherry type thing, a red cherry and cranberry type thing going on.
See, I wish I could. I wish I could drink this and say, "Oh, I taste berries and I taste the Christmas cake," but I really just taste punishment. So I'm going to continue drinking this throughout the evening just to punish myself for all the missteps I've made in my life, and then I'll wake up regretting it, which I think is the true way to enjoy shitty wine. If I had a good wine, as you have, and as I will be purchasing, then I will savor it and I will be able to dissect the components in the flavor. But for now, I think I'm only going to just turn my tongue into saw paper or sandpaper. Wow. Maybe I should cut back on the old cough medicine for a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't punish yourself too much. Maybe just kill a glass and then move on to the next wine.
Yes, exactly. Now, Frank, I did not buy another wine. You were given the Jose Reyes wine. And you had the Sutter Home.
The Sutter Home.
Now, none of this is anything that interests us as far as the wines we've picked.
And I think that's, you know what, I think that's my problem. The reason I'm not into wine is because I haven't found a wine that I enjoy.
That leads into what I wanted to talk about here. Now, John, maybe if we knew good choices for what we were into eating, maybe that would be something great. If we were to give you some of the things that, like, some of our favorite foods, do you think you'd be able to give us a decent starting point?
Definitely. It's I think all too often people don't consider what they're going to be eating for dinner, and they just walk into the wine shop and they think either red or white, and they just blindly choose one. But I think it's definitely something people need to consider more is what they're going to be eating for dinner or what they're having for lunch to go with their wine.
But they should always consider this number one rule here for choosing a wine, selecting a wine. Number one, don't pick the wine with the New York Met on the label. So don't do that. some of our favorite stuff here, obviously there's like, you know, the usual, the steak, the chicken and all that. But what about a Qdoba chicken burrito bowl with fajita vegetables and guacamole?
Burrito. You know what? I think Mexican food, a lot of the time, it's got a spiciness to it.
Uh-huh.
Something with a little bit of spice. I would say a gewürztraminer, which is a little difficult to say, a little difficult to spell, but if you walk into any reputable or any good wine shop, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a great wine. It's got it can have a little bit of a sugar level to it, which sweetness can balance off the spiciness. But it's also got a spicy flavor to it, which just matches really well with Mexican food.
Okay. Now, Frank, did you have a meal that you wanted to?
What about good old fashioned pizza?
Pizza. You know, all too often people grab the cheap Chianti and pour it with pizza. And you know, it makes sense because Italian wine a lot of the time does go well with Italian food. But I would tell you to go somewhere, you know, just nearby, but not in Chianti, which is the Sangiovese grape. It grows right in Tuscany. It's actually what Chianti is made from. But a lot of the time, if you spend you know, $5 for a bottle of Chianti, you're not going to get the best wine in the world. Yeah. So stick with the same grape, which is Sangiovese, and from the region of Tuscany, but don't necessarily go for Chianti.
Okay. Now, Frank has been trying to lose a little bit of weight, so in doing that, he's one of his favorite meals now has been the Lean Cuisine dinner. What would you pair with 4 to 5 Lean Cuisine dinners eaten at one time?
I'd pair with 4 to 5 different glasses of wine. in order to choke those down, you're going to need a pretty good buzz going.
Yeah, and definitely something to try and absorb the salt, because they're very, very high in sodium. Now, John Troutman, senior editor of Corked.com, that's CORKD.com. You need to sign up there. If you're not already, sign up there now. Add Frank and I, and of course John, and let's get going on this wine thing. I think I'm going to try a new bottle every week, and I'm going to maybe post something up on there. And maybe we can get some content going. Maybe I can get to the point, John, where I'm one of your contributors, and I have some kind of knowledge of this, and I educate a complete bum, moron, disgusting person, as I used to be before this interview. John,
guys, I would absolutely love to have one of you as a contributor, and yeah, definitely check out the site. We got a whole bunch of wine content on there, some new, you know, up to the minute type news information, things going on in the wine world. And definitely add me as a friend, because we all need a drinking buddy.
Absolutely will. And do us a favor and say hello to Gary V for us. And, of course, and say what's up to Ranga, too. Thank you.
Will do. We'll send our love along.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
I think I learned a lot. Frank, thanks again, John. I appreciate it. Thank you. And Frank, do you think you learned anything from that? You're going to try?
Absolutely.
Are your doors open to wine now?
I'm actually looking forward to tasting new wines and experiencing the varieties on my tongue.
But no more Cabernet Sauvignon?
No.
Okay. Why don't we take a break here? This is the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your what, Frank? He almost choked. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
And the place to be.
Uh-oh. There we go.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
Hi everyone, this is DJ Newstyle, host of the DJ Newstyle Show, inviting you to check out the Hear Us Talk forums, the official message board of hearustalk.com. Discuss show topics, comment on previous episodes, talk to hosts, talk to fans, or peruse some of the bizarre images and video clips posted in our We Find Things on the Internet section. You like video games? What about sports? Are you into MMA? Do you like crappy music? Do you like broads? Wait, of course not, but are you sexually attracted to women? Wait, still no? Okay, well, maybe you should pass the link on to a friend. HearUsTalk.com/forum. What I'm saying in a nutshell is that there's something for everyone in the Hear Us Talk forums. Go to HearUsTalk.com/forum, and if it's not there, and it should be, post it. HearUsTalk.com/forum.
Hello, Grandmother, I'm
here. Yeah, I'd like to make a reservation.
Excuse me?
A reservation.
No, you don't have to make it.
I don't have to make a reservation?
No.
Do you have any rooms available for tonight?
Yes.
Okay. What is your rates?
One bed, 56, tax included.
How much do you take a discount for stains?
Discount?
If no. I find stains in the bed.
No.
Okay. Are we allowed to, am I allowed to bring my lady there?
Lady?
My woman.
Sure.
I could have sex there?
Excuse me, what kind of question you ask?
I want to know if I could fuck my broad there.
Excuse me, you know what? How old are you? You're supposed to think a little bit better than that, okay?
I apologize. I'm 42.
Yeah, I'm 62. I have a son your age.
I apologize. I'm sorry for I offended you. Well, you didn't answer my question. Can I fuck her or not?
Listen, don't act like a jerk, ass. Okay? You can fuck a dick.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hi, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show, but there are many things you can listen to on Heroes Talk besides this. For example, The Awful Hour.
My mom is 56 years old. She got a tramp stamp.
What?
My mom got a tattoo 6 inches above her ass.
Please tell me what it is.
At 56 years old.
You didn't tell me this outside of the show.
I didn't tell anyone this.
This is the first time I'm hearing this.
I didn't tell anyone this. All right? So I'm like, Mom, what the fuck did you do? She's like, I wanted to bring something back from Hawaii. I wanted to do something special for myself. What is that?
Please tell me it's a picture of Barack Obama.
No. It's a fucking... It's like a tribal tattoo that you get in like 1993 or something. I'm like, Mom, what the hell is it? What is this thing? Like, she, I got it on the beach. It means waves. I'm like, Mom, this doesn't mean waves. This can mean anything. This can mean an order of beef or broccoli. Bro, you fucking crazy? Why do you keep doing that?
You can catch new episodes of The Awful Hour at theawfulhour.com. Don't forget to follow them on Twitter. It's The Awful Hour. It can't get any easier than that. And if that's too hard for you, we'll be streaming new episodes of The Awful Hour every other week, Wednesday nights, on hearustalk.com. Hear Us Talk, entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet.
DJ New Style Show. DJ New Style Show is back. Bitches.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be and home to not only The Awful Hour, but Best in Show every Thursday night, 8 to 11 p.m. And The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30 a.m. Friday nights, all times Eastern. That's HeroesTalk.com. Now, Frank, of course, when I'm talking about the internet and communication, I'm probably going to mention some video conferencing, and I'm probably going to mention a certain site that you know and love so well, Frank. Do you know it?
That would be ICU2.
Of course! ICU2, the best way to chat face-to-face, Frank, from where? Any place. ICU2.com lets you connect to thousands of people instantly. Unlike some of the other sites, Shit Talk and fucking other tiny chatters and whatever, all those other Me Too sites, ICU2 doesn't cripple your user experience. ICU2, you download it, install it on your computer, and you're just going to enjoy your experience. They're not going to try to twist your arm for another cent to get you to go from blue to green to purple. You sign up, and you can try it out, and if you like it, you become a member, and that's it. The chat experience is great. Your screenshot of your cam stands next to your text, so you know if someone's lying when they say LOL. If you see a stone face next to a typed LOL, you know that person is probably an asshole and a liar, and they're not to be trusted. ICU2.com. It's free to try on your Windows PC. Download it today, and in seconds you'll be running with the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication. What's the website, Frank?
ICU2.
That's ICU2.com, Frank. Now, have you been checking out Best in Show and The What Show and all the other Heroes Talk properties and network
Absolutely.
Partners? Yeah. I'm going to ease into this a little bit, Frank. I don't know the deal, but I heard you were hanging out with Jeff this weekend.
Yeah, it really didn't work out.
Do you care to elaborate on this, or is this something you don't want to cover? Or?
Jeffrey said to me that he was visiting his mother for Mother's Day in a town.
Hello, his parents are close to you?
Yeah, his parents are about maybe half an hour away, 45 minutes away from me. So he said, he says, Frank, you know, I'm going to be in the area. You want to, you know, get together and hang out or whatnot. And I said, sure, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's very convenient. You're not that
right.
far away.
No. And so he said to you,
do you want to come out and hang out with me?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And I, as gay as this sounds, I enjoy Jeff's company. I enjoy his conversation. And, I think he's a good guy.
But you said it didn't work out.
It didn't work out. Yeah, it didn't work out really.
Well, what happened?
Well, you know, you have certain rules, DJ New Style, before you go somewhere. You have certain criteria, and unfortunately, I didn't adhere to that criteria.
Well, I mean, I don't understand, Frank. You went to go hang out with Jeff. What's the big fucking deal?
Jeff, brought along his family. You know, he wanted to bring.
So hold on, Jeff says you want to hang out with me, and you went there,
right.
And now you're hanging out with Jeff and his family.
Well, you know, it was his brother, his brother's fiance, and his brother's friends. And
so how many people are we talking to?
I don't know, maybe
more than four, six or seven.
You see, here's the deal. And they wanted to go and eat, and eating is very personable to me, and that doesn't sound well, but I'm a very shy person, and I have a hard time eating at the same table with people that I don't know, because I cannot feel comfortable. I feel self-conscious. I don't feel that I can be myself.
So eating is personal. This is a private thing, only to a select few.
But
people you know well.
Am I coming on? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when you eat a meal, you want to feel comfortable with the people you're eating with, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But here's the deal. I ensure that. I take steps to make sure that happens.
Right.
For example, if you were to say to me, "Hey Ken, let's go and meet to go get food. Let's go get food." And if you said, "Come and get food with me," I'd say, "Oh, who's coming?" Always. And you say, "No, just me and you." I'm like, okay. Where are we going? "We're going to a diner." Okay. If you had answered, "Oh, it's just me and my grandma and with the hooves and the grooves with the face of a boy," I would go in that case. But if it's just some random strangers or like your cousins or something like that, I'd say, "Oh, all right, well, where are we going?" "Oh, we're going to my aunt Sylvia's house. And she's making this awesome plate of ribs, and we're going to eat all the ribs and hang out and play kickball in the backyard." I'm going to say, "You know what, Frank? I'm not going to go. You have to get all of the details out there, laid out like a blueprint for the entire event in advance. You can't drive somewhere and discover something that you're not going to be comfortable with. You know that you don't want to eat in front of people you don't know. And Jeff, again, your fault is that you didn't check and make everything clear beforehand. Jeff's fault is that he made it sound like you're just going to go hang out with him, right? Is that what it
right.
is?
Right.
Shame on Jeff for making it seem like you're just, come on, I'm in the area, we'll go get a happy waitress, we'll go get a soda and talk about whatever. Now you show up thinking it's just going to be you and him, and Jeff has his whole fucking family tree and friends and every other thing. Again, they're probably great people, but it's not what you signed up for.
No, I felt awkward. I was starting to get a little nervous, and we were driving. He, you know,
so you went where Jeff's parents lived, and then you got to the house, and what, did you go home because you saw people?
You know what? No. I was going to drive with him. I was going to follow him to, they wanted to go to Red Bank, and Red Bank is, it's sort of like, it's a very, congested area, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he wanted me to follow him in the car. I started driving there, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to feel. I was getting a little bit anxiety.
Okay,
you
were on the way to Red Bank,
eating.
and then what did you do?
You're
following them.
Yeah, I followed him, And he got off of an exit, and I didn't see he get off. I wasn't paying attention, and so that he got off an exit too, and I lost him. And then he called me up, and I figured it really wasn't going
to
work out.
I guess we have something in common, Frank, because Jeff is calling me up right now. Jeff from The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30, Friday nights on Heroes Talk. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Omitting some important facts there, Frank.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's the facts there, Jeffrey?
Did you not call me and ask me who will be there? And I said my brother and his fiancé.
Once I was already in your parents' development is when I asked.
Frank, you fucked up then. You fucked up. You knew going
late.
In. You
should have not know.
Having known it was going to be my brother and his fiance, did you not follow me an additional 25 minutes before you determined it wasn't for you? So having
I
my car.
Let me say something. I am not without fault, Jeffrey. I am not without fault. What I did was very immature, but I was
having it was embarrassing.
Who does this?
To explain to my friends, he's just like that. And even that explanation wasn't accepted. No one does that. No one comes all the way and then follows me an additional 20 minutes to and then abandons me halfway there.
Wow.
Well, Frank, here's the deal.
Yeah, what about that was not factually correct? That's exactly what happened.
Frank, now answer truthfully. Did you not receive word before you arrived to his parents' house who was going to be there?
I asked him probably – I was three-quarters of the way there is when I found out about it.
And then you know what? If you were uncomfortable with it then, you should have turned around then.
Right. You're right. I'm not without fault. I'm not without fault.
You're just awkward socially. You're awkward socially. So you got there and you what did you shake hands? Did you say hello to everybody?
He didn't even have an opportunity to talk to my brother and his fiance to determine if they were his type of people because he's so personable before he goes out to dinner because dinner's so personable for him that he didn't have a conversation with them. He just assumed that they were going to be... It's not like I had my aunts and my uncles there. And
Jeff. I have a hard time eating in front of people I don't know.
Here's the thing. Jeff, I found fault with you before I knew that you told him who was coming. Right now, I don't see
Jeff, you had asked me a week or so. So let's go out to... let's hang out with that. And I was looking... As gay as this sounds, I was... looking forward to hanging out with you.
And Frank,
I thought it was as gay as this sounds, what I'm going to say is totally gay, but I thought it was just going to be, us hanging out. When you started bringing people that you knew that I didn't know is when I felt uncomfortable and I started having an anxiety disorder. And that's the guys on a shoot.
First of all, I told you prior to scheduling this event that I was considering inviting Casey and Dave and Bob.
I know
and
those
TV.
People!
I understand that.
But now, Jeff, I want to read a text message that was sent to me.
No,
this was sent. It says, "What a waste of a clean pair of pants." That was sent yesterday. You got dressed up for this?
No, I had jeans on. I didn't get dressed up.
It's such a thing.
He went on Twitter and he put in. Now there's an hour and a half. I'll never get back.
That's wrong. I said 2 hours. I'll never get back.
Oh, so it's
what you wrote that I'll never get back. Like I had somehow swindled you into coming out and spending time with me.
Jeff, why couldn't we have just hung out? Why'd you have to bring other people with that I didn't
know? I'll tell you why, Frank. Because in the normal course of human events, people invite other people out without considering, hey, is this person going to be uncomfortable? And if they are, they usually make it known prior.
So you didn't take in consideration how I would feel. Is that what you're saying?
Why should I? You never let me know that you were uncomfortable with it. You never let me know that you wanted this one-on-one male body part, which I would have been happy to provide for you.
We were gonna bring other people along, and I had no promises. Bring everybody. We were gonna bring Ed McGrath over. He couldn't make it. You could bring, as long as I know the people, yeah. I have no problem eating in front of the people. In front of people I don't know.
Okay, hold on. Shut up. Both of you just shut up for a second. Jeff, do you not at least expect something like this from someone who is so just bizarre socially?
Honestly, Ken, no, because yes, he has his little idiosyncrasies or whatever, and he's a unique fellow. I never anticipated that he would have such a social phobia to my own flesh and blood. I can understand
if it was a fucking gang members,
but it was my brother.
Yeah, but he doesn't know him, so he's uncomfortable. I understand that.
Ken, let me finish. Whether it was your brother and his fiance or your cousin or your neighbor, it's totally irrelevant. It's people I don't know. It was nothing against your family. I met your brother.
Are you completely incapable of saying, hi, my name is Frank. How are you doing?
I could do that, but I cannot eat with people I don't know.
Do you understand? Frank shovels. He doesn't eat. He shovels.
If you were following me, like from Manalapan, New Jersey, up until Kultnik, that you were going to be sitting there with people you didn't know.
Right.
Why between there and there? That's the insanity of this. Right? I don't care if you go I really don't feel comfortable eating with your brother and his fiance. I'm just going to go. It's fine. Whatever.
He didn't know how to deal with it.
You're right. I didn't know how to deal with it. I had butterflies in my
stomach. And that's what was creeping out my family.
I apologize.
I'm sure their whole night was ruined.
I apologize. But I am
Jeff,
not
hold on.
Fault.
Hold on. Frank, hold on.
Please!
I'm going to defend you here for a second,
okay,
you fuck. Here's the deal, Jeff. I have a feeling your family didn't make as much of a big deal as you're making out of it right now.
You want to make a bet?
I have a feeling that because you tend to make, you tend to affect yourself over stuff that involve other people a lot more. So I think you amplify.
I will be happy to get my brother to speak to you on another occasion. Regarding his feelings, he made it very clear that never in a million years would any of his friends do the same thing to me, which is even more of an embarrassing thing.
Yeah, but are any of his friends do they have social anxiety? Like, could you understand?
I don't know why his friend has social anxiety problems.
But you're yelling at him knowing that he does. Do you understand?
Well, I mean, yeah, what we do.
You're yelling at him after finding out that he has it. How dare you have sleep apnea, Jeffrey?
I mean, seriously, like he's gone out to events at various bars and whatnot for years to talk.
But did he eat?
With people he's never seen before. It's not like he's a social...
You're missing the point. I could hang out with your brother and his fiance if we were going to the boardwalk or whatever. I cannot eat at the same table with them. I just don't feel, I get nervous. I cannot break bread with people I don't know at the same table. If we were just going to go hang out at a bar, it's one thing. I cannot do it.
So when you go out to eat in a restaurant, okay, do you ask people in the restaurant to leave?
Pardon me?
When you go out to eat with your family, do you ask the other people in the restaurant to leave?
No, you see, you're missing the point. At the same table, I'm saying. Obviously, there's going to be people in the restaurant I don't know, but they're not at the same table as I am!
All right, I need some of the people that are in the Heroes Talk chat room and the Pal Talk chat room to give me a synopsis who you're going for here. If you could just go ahead and type Frank or Jeff... And whose side do you fall on? If you want to call the show, the number is 316-768-4472. We're getting... It's pretty much two Jeffs and, a bunch of Franks.
I'm seeing a lot of Franks.
I'm seeing Ed is going with Jeff. I think that's
because
Ed is so anti-Frank in every facet of his life. And Steve the LARPer is going for Jeff because he is high permanently. That's really it. That's really all we're getting is just two Jeffs. Now, I understand.
I honestly don't understand. I mean, maybe you had to be there to fully understand this, but, it felt like I sprung this news on him, and he was suddenly faced with a situation he couldn't deal with.
You're right. Jeff, I'm not going to argue with you. I was totally at fault as well. No, I'm not even saying you were at fault, because you shouldn't have to know my problems.
Okay,
I'm telling you how I felt.
Joining us on the show.
And what I'm doing is I'm offering you an apology. I don't know.
Oh!
Now, is our friendship going to be severed because of this?
No. The thing is, I had thought that I had committed some faux pas along the way. Like, I wasn't going slow enough for you or something like that when you were trailing me. You know, or maybe I was weaving too much. I couldn't understand what it is exactly what the problem was, because you weren't clear in your text messages of why you wanted to leave either.
Okay, Jeff, joining us on the show here, one half of Team Jeff, our buddy Ed McGrath. Ed McGrath, what's going on, buddy? Oh, he's very silent. He didn't say anything. Congratulations, Ed McGrath, for derailing the entire show.
You derailed the whole fucking show!
You did. Oh, you derailed it. Anyway,
do you think it's normal to be so crippled at the loud scenario?
You realize I take 200 milligrams of Zoloft a day? Obviously, no.
Well, I guess we're getting to that point where Frank is just using his afflictions as a crutch.
No, I'm not. You know what?
Jeff, are you there? I'm sorry, Ed, are you there? Ed? Thank you very much, Ed.
Humiliation.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. Thank you
no,
for trying.
No, Jeff, are you pissed off at me, Jeff?
You don't have to throw your prescriptions at me. I understand that. I thought it was just like a quiet little thing you had, you know? It wasn't so less crippling.
I cannot. I guess this has never come up before, but I cannot eat at the same table with strangers. I feel like they're constantly watching me, watching every move. If a crumb falls out of my mouth, I feel very self conscious when I'm eating at the same table with strangers. And pardon?
Keep your clothes in your mouth. What can I tell you? It happens.
I don't want you to think this has anything to do with my dislike for your family. Like I said, whether it was your neighbor down the street or some criminal, it doesn't matter. It's whether it's your family or not is irrelevant. It's the whole situation that they were strangers. Now, we can continue this argument for eternity, or we can move on. Now, do you want to sever this friendship is what I'm asking you.
Whoa!
Hey, Frank, can I add something?
Oh, Ed, you're finally there. Congratulations.
Okay. I just want to add that Frank tried to Shanghai me earlier in the day, trying to get me to go with him. He told me that Barb was going to be there and other people that I know.
I told him if certain people are going to be there, Ed's like a fucking magnet, so he'll go.
Oh, this was a social experiment for you.
Right. I name-dropped some people because I figured if he found out certain people were going to go, he would go.
But when did that turn out for you?
Hold on.
Well, how did it turn out for me when I told you what happened?
Frank.
Ed, you said, I'm glad I didn't go then. I made a good choice.
Hold on.
Because
you made it sound like a disaster.
I did not.
All right, everybody stop fucking yelling for a second. Jesus Christ.
Is there any way you can post on your website a list of Frank-approved people? Just so that we can have that hanging. I don't want anyone off the list.
Frank, I want you to do that on the DJ New Style Show Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Now, Frank, at what point did you start telling Ed that Barb and all the other people that would draw him there were attending?
Well, listen.
Were you dropping these names after you found out that Jeff's family would be attending and you just wanted him to be there too?
I wanted Ed to come and hang out. So I knew if I mentioned people who, believe me, had no intentions on going, that Ed would be more likely to go because, at this point,
I don't even know what we're arguing about, and I don't even care about the argument.
I actually do, because if we recall the Heroes Talk Atlantic City excursion, hey, Frank, weren't you sitting down at a table with Spandy Man, who just fucked a whore?
But did he eat? He wasn't eating.
He didn't fuck a whore at that time, my friend. That was after the fact. That was after the fact.
Okay, he had just inserted a woman's high heel.
First of all,
asshole.
I didn't eat at the same table as him, number one. He was at a different table, number two. And number three, I know I've met him before. How could anybody be embarrassed to eat in front of him?
Everybody is embarrassed to eat in front of him. Well,
Jeff,
actually, you know what? I don't think you could be embarrassed in front of Spain.
Listen,
That's
Jeff.
Very
Jeff,
good.
All I can say is I'll apologize to your family. I didn't mean to offend you, but if you could tell them that I do have a mental disability.
Several.
Hold on, I'm getting a text message from Frank. Fuck your family. Thank you.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
And Jeff, could you make sure that you let them know that Frank felt that they were a waste of clean pants?
No.
Frank, you literally pointed out you're
I'm not gonna get back.
Yeah, you pointed out the fact that you were upset that you had to use clean pants for the whole event.
Well, no, I wore them again the next day because I didn't really go anywhere with them. Ugh. But listen to me.
All right, I'm done with this. And Jeff,
yeah, I'm
Jeff,
sorry, Jeff, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. I apologize. It wasn't you. It wasn't your family. It was me. It's not you. It's me. Sorry. And I apologize. And I hope we can continue this friendship.
Jeff, can you admit? Hold on.
Apology.
Hey. Jeff, can you admit? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Jeff. What's up, Jeff? Can you admit that you get a little too worked up over certain things?
There's a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you do, but and it's not my place to discuss a lot of these things. Even though I did drop your sleep apnea bomb on you, the thing is, a lot of the times things will happen, and some of them don't even really directly involve you, and you make it a point of getting incredibly worked up and excited over these things. What is the deal with that? Like, okay, so Frank didn't go to a diner with you and five other people. You had five other people you could enjoy, but you're still pissed off. And that happened what, Saturday?
Well, I can go on if you want to hear further details from the night.
If you would like to.
Frank took about an hour to get him an outfit, and after me calling him after the third time,
I didn't realize that I was on a fucking time schedule. I thought it was going to be a casual event. I didn't realize you had reservations at the Sauvignon Cabernet.
No, that's not what you said. I didn't realize we were on some kind of fucking schedule.
Yeah, I didn't. You know what? I didn't realize I had to be somewhere at a certain time. I wanted to go out for a casual burger or something. I didn't want to go and make a big fucking deal about the goddamn thing.
So you can see I'm not exactly the crazy person here.
You're not, but still, the both of you are out of your minds, is what I'm getting at. This isn't a huge deal.
I wasn't even going to pay.
But it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. I was going to pay. It does not hold. It doesn't matter.
I didn't pick a time,
because
that's what you like.
What?
Pardon me?
I didn't pick a time, because that's what you like.
I know, but you know what it is? Whatever. I'm Jeff, I don't know what else to say. I want to sound like a dead horse. I'm sorry. I hope
you
can.
I will accept your apology if you transfer
you know what, Jeff?
You, copyright to me.
Jeff, you don't deserve an apology, because this isn't a big fucking deal. It's not. It just isn't. And you're turning this into some kind of fucking social debacle. Frank wasn't with you when you had fucking spaghetti and clams. Big fucking deal. Big deal.
I had a table for four and one seat was missing. I kept looking at it the whole night.
So you got extra bread. Who gives a shit?
Sometimes I'll cut a little piece from my steak and I'll be like, hey, Frank, want to try this?
And you know what? And you were probably relieved that you didn't have to give up that one bite. So it's a fucking win for you. And now you know what? It's even further of a win because you had something to discuss with the people. And I can't believe you would do this. And you look like somebody who needs to be consoled now. Your friend is a fucking loose cannon. I'll deal with him. You made a whole thing out of it for no reason. Frank just was mad that he had to put fucking pants on. That's why he was mad.
No. It's not. Whatever. We're just repeating this thing over. I was looking forward to hanging out, but I got nervous and this and that, and I behaved immaturely. I apologize. I hope
Short
we can
stop.
We can make it up.
Did it become Jewish?
Pardon?
It is. It is because you're Jewish. Frank, I want you to take another drink of your glass of Schorstop wine. Take some of your Schorstop wine.
I will have to drink it from the bottle.
He's a gold glove player. He's really smooth. Been mesmerized. He's in the groove. I think there's only one way to lighten up the mood. What is this? I don't understand what that means. What are you doing, Frank?
I was drinking a bottle of wine.
What was that? What was the noise?
It was hard to swallow.
Well, you know, there's only one way to lighten up the mood. Jeff, I hope this helps you.
Get mesmerized! Get mesmerized!
Thank you for calling, Jeff.
Get mesmerized! Get mesmerized!
The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30. Thank you for calling, Ed.
I'm George Foster. I love this team. The Mets are better than the Red Machine. I live to play, and that's my thing. This year we're gonna win the series ring. Play together.
Play together. Team's real tight. I can't listen to it. Sorry. Anyway. By the way, 1986 Mets, they had several hit records. One of them was that fine track, Get Mesmerized. Now, Frank. I gotta hear the best part though. Hold on, and I gotta find it first of all. hold on.
Twice my name, what can I say? You know they call me Dr. K. Change up fastball, slide at the curve. Step up to the plate if you got the nerve.
No, I can't do this. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not even watching baseball, Frank. I'm not even watching it. God. Frank, you know what the thing about it is? Your whole life. You live for struggles, and you live for putting yourself in awkward situations. Look what you've just done to Jeff. It's almost as though you're such a huge fan of Seinfeld that you're trying to turn your life into as many plots from the show as possible. And I want to talk about something. I don't know how receptive you're going
to
be
to this. Are you referring to Ken's Kennels? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I'm referring to Ken's Kennels.
Oh.
Ken's Kennels. Now, this isn't an actual business. Apparently, I own something called Ken's Kennels, and I'm the authority of boarding dogs.
Right.
And so people need to call me to ask about dogs that might be fucking boarded there. Frank, do you want to elaborate on this shit?
I will elaborate. I'm not going to mention the establishment because it's not necessary. But I have two. I'll make it very quick. I have two Maltese dogs that were getting groomed at an establishment.
Okay.
$120 and change it cost me to get these two dogs groomed.
For two dogs?
Right. Ridiculous, ooh, obscene amount of money.
It's usually like $40.
Right. So, when I was picking the dogs up, I said, where are their collars? And they said, hold on, let me check. And long story short, they couldn't find their collars.
So now you...
Now the collars, these are not just collars. It has their license, their municipal license on it. It has the town license, their shots, rabies, all that other crap on there. Okay,
it's a big jangly thing of little metal slabs.
Now, when I heard they couldn't find these collars, the wheels in my brain just fucking started twisting and turning and moving along.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I said to myself, all right, I have a situation here. They cannot find collars. Okay. I said to them, well, I need these collars because I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Florida. I have a 6 o'clock flight. I'm bringing the dogs to a kennel near the airport. And the guy says he has to have all the tags and everything. Okay. What I did was, now if I said to them, oh, okay. So if they said to me, we can't find out, we'll give you a call. That wasn't going to work. I had to give them, put pressure on them, and let them know that I need these fucking things now. I need these.
And what was your goal, Frank?
My goal was obviously for them not to find them.
To scam them.
Whatever, and for them to reimburse me my fucking payment of $120.
You wanted to get out of $120. You found a golden opportunity of them not having something of yours. That has some kind of a rabies certification on it. So you spun this amazing lie, and now all of a sudden they came back. They called you out, basically.
Absolutely.
What did they say?
They didn't call me out. What they did was they said to me, all right, they were starting to ask me the name of it. I said it was a kennel near Newark Airport because we were going to drop them off. It was the first time I was bringing them to this place. And they said, all right, well, what's the name of the place? Okay, that's when I started to get a little nervous, okay? I says, well, what difference does that make? They says, well, what we'll do is we'll call the place up and we'll tell them the situation and maybe they could, you know.
By the way, Frank, this is them calling your fucking bluff.
Let me finish. Let me finish, my friend.
I'm pretty sure that's them calling your bluff. You say the fucking kennel. Okay,
the race ain't over, boy.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just pointing out. I'm pointing something out. So don't say no. That's what it is.
I think they believe me though, because I was acting pretty well, because I had a very frustrated face on and everything.
But you always do.
They said to me, "What's the name of the kennel?" I says, "Well, I don't know. My wife's taking care of it." So I procrastinated a little bit. They were now, mind you, they called the store manager. They called the salon manager. Had to drive 45 minutes from her home to come to the fucking place to look for these keys. They pulled out every single crate, you know, with the door. They pulled out every cabinet. They were looking everywhere. They were scouring the entire fucking store looking for these fucking collars or whatever.
So, all right, you're over 45 minutes. You're there now.
At least. Ugh. At least the store was closed. The store closes at 9:00. It was 9:45. I was still there. Ugh. Okay. And so I wanted to make it more legit. They said, "What's the name of the place?" I says, a little bell rang into my head. I gave them none other than DJ New Style's cell phone number. And
because you called me first and asked if it was okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's
you gave them my fucking number ahead of time.
No, you're right. What I did was I walked to the store and I said, "Ken, here's a story. This isn't a joke. I have a situation right now," and I gave you the whole scenario. Yeah. I said,
"Here's what I hear. It says, Ken, dude, I need something for you. I need a favor, dude. Someone's gonna call you, and they're gonna say that my dog doesn't have tags, and you got to say that you have the tags, and you need the tags, and you're all frantic. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about." And I calm you down. You explain to me that now you want me to pose as some fictitious kennel operator and field the question and take no shit from them.
I said to you, I want you to be Ken's Kennels. I want you to. I'm going to give you the phone, because when you answer your cell phone, you simply just say, "Hi, this is Ken. Leave a message." So
exactly.
Right. So
the old Vandalay Industries trick.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I gave him I gave him the phone number, and they called. They called my bluff, and they called, and Ken's Kennels answered.
Yeah. So they call me. And by the way, I'm on my way to my house. It's late. I'm going to be doing some late night work. Spackle and shit. I wait in my fucking driveway for this call. Frank, I initially told you I didn't want to do it. I said, "Why can't you just have them call Donna?" And you said, "Is it because Donna wouldn't believe in this or wouldn't?"
No, because how that wouldn't come. First of all, I would be giving them a local number. I needed a number that was from that particular part of New Jersey,
okay.
which was your number.
Okay. So they call me. And they say, so I answer, I go, "Ken's Kennels." And they say, "Hi, this is so-and-so, and we have a person here who's going to be boarding their dog." And I said, "Okay, great. Just like, I'm really busy." And they say, "So, we lost his collar, and I'm wondering if, you know, if it's possible, if like you could use our... Just trust us that he's got the proper certifications." And I said, "Well, you know, the paper certifications aren't going to be enough. He's going to need the physical collars. He's going to need the tags. You better find the tag. I got to go. And they go, "Oh, okay. So they hung up. And then what, Frank? So you got what? Free grooming out of this? I pretended to be a guy working a goddamn kennel, insisting on them needing a collar with tags on it. And you got a free grooming? Is that what it is?
I got free grooming for 6 months.
You did?
Yes.
You're lying.
I know.
You're absolutely lying because what happened
before
is
they found the fucking collars.
So there was no reason to finish the phone call with you,
and they said we found them.
So my fucking ploy erupted to nothing. There's no reason for you to bother me.
No reason whatsoever.
Your whole fucking slick little plan just fucking fizzled out. Fizzled out. So I'm sorry to get so aggravated, but I know you like Seinfeld. Get over it, Frank.
That was a Seinfeldian situation, wasn't it?
It was, and you think these things will just work for you, but they're not going to come through. They're going to find the collars. Like, no one's going home with collars. They obviously called somebody in to search the store. They were going to turn up. What were you going to get?
I thought that they would reimburse me the fee that I would. I said, this is what I was going to say to them. I said, listen, I could try and get a different flight, but it's going to cost me money. And I kept saying that a couple times.
Yeah.
I says, if you guys reimburse me for the cost of the grooming, then perhaps you know, we could work out a deal. But it didn't come to that. They found the collars, and that's the end of the story.
You're too steeped in Seinfeld, because I know we talked about trying to get Twitter attention from celebrities. And I noticed on your Twitter, The Germ Freak, you wrote a little message to Marley Matlin.
Yes. Marley, let me tell you a little quick thing about Marley Matlin. I've done this numerous times. I'll just do it very quickly. I do an impression of the great deaf actress Marley Matlin.
Oh, from what movie?
No, it's not from a movie. It's from the television show Seinfeld.
Oh.
Okay. Now, I'll do it right. Let me just set it up very quickly.
Okay, set up the scene.
This is the episode where Marley Matlin is guest starring, and she's a ball girl at a tennis match, and Jerry Seinfeld's in the stands trying to get her attention.
Yeah.
And Jerry says to her, what are you
doing? Bingo!
Shut up!
Bingo! Wait, I'm sorry. I missed the impression. Frank, what was the impression?
Why do you do that? You know this is my big part to shine.
Well,
and you gotta,
no, you said she was the ball girl and Seinfeld's in the stands.
She was the ball girl, not bald girl.
No, I said ball girl.
And so, and Seinfeld says to her, whoa, what are you doing?
Bingo!
Son of a bitch!
What's the, I don't understand what the impression is, though.
I want to do it!
What?
I do it better than you!
But you do the Seinfeld part. Do the Seinfeld
Shut up
part.
For a second. What are you?
Bingo!
You son of a bitch!
Okay, Frank, I'm not gonna do it this time. I promise.
Okay. Oh, what are you, Dad?
And Bingo was his name-o. What?
Why do you?
I'm just. I was. I just got reminded of a childhood song I was singing.
Let me just do it very quickly. Okay. Oh, what are you, Dad?
Oh, 66. Bingo! Bingo! So this is Marley Matlin. I didn't know she was in Seinfeld.
She guest starred in Seinfeld. She played a ball girl.
Was she Elaine?
No.
Where?
Oh, what are you, deaf?
Bingo.
Oh, I got it, baby. I got it.
Yeah, but you don't do any other Seinfeld impressions.
Yes,
so
I do.
Okay.
All right, let me do the repertoire very quickly.
Okay.
We're running out of time.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, you had to have the big salad. What the hell do I know about
cooking a shirt?
You'll catch a death of a cold.
That's mine.
All right. But let me get to the point. Okay. I found Marley Matlin on Twitter, and I tweet to her, bingo.
I'm sure that she cared. Did she respond back to you?
I would like everybody to add Marley Matlin and just type bingo.
What do I know about cooking a shirt?
What the hell do I know about cooking a shirt? You done good, Newman.
It's too bad you don't have any more Seinfeld impressions. It's too bad. We need some more.
Jerry, it's a breach of the dry cleaner's code.
I wish I remembered. I just don't. They're so inconsequential and just everything else. Frank, and you know, another thing that we can gather from your Twitter, another valuable thing is that when you see a beverage and there's bubbles at the top of the beverage, you fear that it's been pissed in.
Right. I ordered a coffee. I got a coffee at a Starbucks that was inside of a fucking supermarket, and it was so foamy, it looked like somebody pissed in it.
Now, piss to you is always foamy?
Mine is.
Always foamy?
9 times out of 10.
So wait, 9 times out of 10 it's foamy? Because 9 times out of 10 mine is not foamy.
Well, mine is foamy. What could I say?
Well, that's not good, Frank. Do you ever wonder why it's foamy?
No, I really don't think about it.
Persistently foamy urine becomes noticeable over time and is something you should ask your doctor about because it could be a sign of diabetes.
You're kidding, right?
I'm not kidding, Frank.
You're fucking around, right?
Large amounts of protein, which cause the foam in the piss, may indicate a serious kidney problem. Or, Frank, here's the other thing. It may just be a high piss velocity.
I do have a high piss velocity sometimes.
But wait, where are you foaming this up? You don't use public bathrooms, so this isn't any
No,
urinal.
At home, in my elongated bowl.
Are you sitting down when you're pissing?
No, I don't sit down when I piss.
So you're foaming up a bowl?
Of course!
Hold on. When I piss in a urinal, because it's so close to the water, you know, like it's not like a foot or 2 feet away like in a bowl, it foams up there because of the pressure from the piss. When I'm pissing in a bowl, there's almost never fucking foam.
So you're saying the harder you piss, the more likely there is to be the foam?
I mean, if you have a tremendous, you could be just creating little oxygen bubbles because of the pressure from your piss. But also, it's saying that it could just be extra protein, and when it's really persistent, as yours seems to be, kidney problems or diabetes. Okay, let's get the scale. Let's
get the scale. Is that your transition?
Let's get the scale, Frank. Now that we know you might have diabetes, at least you'll have another thing to blame things on.
Okay.
Frank, you're trying to lose 20 pounds by your 40th birthday.
Right.
You have the scale, is that correct?
I have to get the scale, hold on.
Well, hold on, Frank, let me ask you a question. Yes. Get the scale!
Thank you. All right, hold on.
Frank's desperately trying to lose weight, but I think at this point, he is desperately trying to get to his starting weight, which was a point in his life where he realized he needed to lose weight. From that, for about 13 weeks, Frank has accumulated 4 pounds.
Now, there's a guest weigh person, so I have to stay clothed.
Oh, okay, so we might be up a little bit.
So we'll take 5 pounds off for the clothes.
No, you will not take 5 pounds off for the clothes.
You can at least take 2 pounds.
We'll take 1 pound off for the clothes. Now, here's the deal. You started at 216, and last week, your 13th weigh-in, you were at 220. That's 4 pounds over your start. I think the goal has shifted, Frank, to try and get back to 216.
Yes, my goal now is to break even.
Much like everybody in their 401ks, you're focusing on just trying to get back to where you were. And the ambitious goal of losing 40 pounds by your 40th birthday was dwindled to 20. And now it's really, I want to lose 0 by 40, and right now you have 24 pounds to go. Or I'm sorry, 4 pounds.
I'm going on the scale.
We're getting predictions. Don't read it yet. We have 220, 227, a couple 221s, 219, 220, 222. Somebody's really, NorCal Murph says 228. Kling is saying 218, and Dom has no concept of what we're doing here. He says 200. 200. Frank hasn't seen 200 in fucking 2000, in that fucking decade.
Remember,
here we are. Last week, 220.
Take 2 pounds off for clothes.
No. We're taking 1 pound off for clothes. That means you've seen the number, and you want to try to pad that. What is the number without removal?
Don't say the number yet. Now, no. I want you to already subtract.
No. We need to hear the full number first.
It sounds worse when you say the full number.
Of course.
You got to take at least 2 pounds off for clothes.
No.
Ass.
Oh, Tilt is listening. Hey, Tilt. It's good to see you again. He's saying 231. That's
guest,
very cruel.
Guest way reader, please divulge the weights.
200. 20 pounds.
Is that with clothes? Is that with clothes?
Right? With clothes.
220 with clothes? So if we remove... oh, wait, hold on. Frank, this is very critical. And I'm completely straight. I have a loving girlfriend named Amanda. And I, although I do own a cockapoo, I do not mean this as a homosexual statement. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing jeans and what somebody people call a sleep shirt.
So it's a full long sleeve shirt.
Long sleeve shirt.
Do you have a shirt under that?
No, and a heavy jeans, thick dungarees.
And you're wearing underwears?
Of course, and socks too.
How many wears have the underwears had? Are you on two or three wears?
What the hell difference does that make?
They get heavier. If I were you, I would admit to wearing the same underwear for a week.
You could say that. Listen, I have at least 2 pounds of clothes.
Are you wearing sneakers?
No, I am not.
Oh.
I have at least 2 pounds of clothes.
So you have socks, underwear, jeans.
And that's being very modest.
Socks, underwear, jeans, and a sleep shirt. Are you wearing?
Yes.
Are you wearing your headphones when you were on the scale?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
You know what? Let me.
Frank.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Your previous weigh-ins, you were nude.
Yes.
I will say you are wearing 2 pounds of equipment, bringing you down to 218, 218 pounds. Only two over your starting point, which means you've done
a break even, baby.
Which means you've actually made efforts to not succeed. You've actually gained weight instead of lost.
No, I lost since last week.
Overall, Frank. But since last week, you are down 2 pounds. Which means you are only above your starting weight of 216 by 2 pounds. Frank, you have 2 pounds to go before your 40th birthday. Do you think you can make it?
I will definitely make it.
What? Okay. You will definitely make it back to 216?
Oh, no doubt in my mind.
If you do not, what are you willing to do? You were saying definitely, so this is a given. Frank, if you do not make it back to 216, you have to wear a toilet seat around your head at the June event in Hoboken that we will announce very shortly.
No problem.
We will weigh you at that event. If you are more than 216, you will wear a toilet seat around your head. That we will provide, not you.
Oh, no.
I
you
will
don't provide,
provide
it.
And Frank, I provide it. I provide it, and I have a house with 3 toilet seats I didn't replace. And little cuts on the front where the finish was worn off by rings.
It's very humiliating to wear a toilet bowl seat on my
nope.
Thing.
Well, is it humiliating to gain weight in a weight loss competition? Which is worse? So maybe this is some motivation for you to maybe get on the treadmill. Maybe eat better.
All right. Let's...
maybe not indulge in Jose Reyes wine on a Tuesday night. And imbibe. Do you think you can do it? Definitely?
I think I can do it, but I don't know about the toilet bowl seat.
No. You don't know about a lot of stuff, I guess.
Maybe I'll just walk around with a toilet brush in my hand.
Frank, we have to promote something here. Barb has just sent me a note that on July 9th, the Vagabond Souls.
They're back together.
Apparently, they have seen the error of their ways, and they've allowed Dom back in the band after Dom decided that he didn't want to go and succeed. Dom is now back in the band, and on July 9th, at the Bitter End, 11 p.m., they will be performing. No cover charge, free for everybody to go and enjoy.
Now, the Bitter End is where the likes of Lady Gaga once performed.
That is right. And how many times has Dom performed there? Several. So Dom, if we expand this out, let's extrapolate. Dom is the next Lady Gaga. Okay. I see the applause. So I think that's about it, Frank. I think that is about it. I want to thank John Troutman from Corked. That's Corked, CORKD.com. And I want to thank Ed and Jeff for basically just yelling with you. Why don't we put the cap on the bottle here, buddy?
That's what I say.
Let's
put the cap on the bottle.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 255 of the DJ New Style Show. Please, like us on Facebook. It makes my goddamn day. Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. You've got Best in Show, Thursday night, 8 to 11. The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30 Friday nights. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night, The Awful Hour at 9 p.m. right here on Hear Us Talk. Frank, is there anything you want to say? Anything at all?
But this is us!
Of course! You're not a friend. Sometimes you just don't feel it. They can pack a real punch. I'm a fucking pear! I'm gonna kick all your friends' ass.
Who's and who's?
Hey, Ken, is there anything you'd like to say?
You're an asshole! It's a fucking snooze! You're talking to a fucking sign! Dude, I'll take a bet just to prove you I could. Fuckface! I want pepper jack cheese! That's what you get for being fat. Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.